Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. And today we're going to be journeying to Bethlehem to consider the birth of a very significant child. And I'm going to read from Luke's account of that birth in Bethlehem from Luke chapter 2, and it'll appear on the screen behind me. So Luke's account of the birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's pause to pray as we hear God speak through his word. Father God, we thank you for this time when we can consider the good news of Christmas, the good news of this birth, of this child born in Bethlehem, the good news of what he grew up to be and to do, and the good news of who he is now and who he can be for us. Father, we ask that you would help us to see more of him this morning, more of his greatness, more of his splendor, more of his beauty. I pray this for his glory. Amen. Next year is a year where we're expecting two significant births. The first birth, we're expecting sometime in April. And if everything goes according to plan, this birth will take place in the private wing of a highly respected hospital in a major UK city. There'll be a crowd gathered outside to wait for news of the birth. And the mother will have a team of people to get her ready for the official photo, which will appear in every single national newspaper. This child will be the third child of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. The other significant birth we're expecting sometime in February. If everything goes according to plan, this birth will take place in an average kind of hospital in a town in South Wales. There won't be any crowd outside waiting for news of this birth. If you want to. There'll be a big crowd of people, but the story will go completely unnoticed by all of the national newspapers. It probably won't even get a mention on Bridge FM. This is the birth of the second child of the pastor of Lichard Mission. And what I find interesting about what Luke tells us here is we have this child who is more significant, more spectacular than the next prince or princess. But we have a birth scene that is more mundane than the Princess of Wales Hospital. We have this spectacular child, but such an ordinary birth. I want us this morning to see together why that's good news for us this Christmas. A spectacular child with an ordinary birth. So a spectacular child. How spectacular are we talking here? Let me just tell you two things that Luke has already told us in the first chapter of his account of the life of Jesus. He's told us that this is a royal child, a king. When the angel appeared to Mary and told her what kind of son she was going to give birth to, she was told that this son, while the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So he's going to be a king, and not just any king, not just like the next king that we'll have, but a king whose kingdom will go on forever and ever, a king appointed by God to reign forever. This is a significant, spectacular child that Mary is going to give birth to. And not just a royal child. The angel tells Mary this is going to be a divine child. The angel goes on to say about the conception of this child, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. When we see what else the Bible tells us, this child will be the Son of God, not by adoption, but because this is the one who is eternally God the Son. God reveals himself to us in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is God the Son, come down, born as a baby. Still God, but human too. And we can't fully get our minds around that, but we can say that's a significant, spectacular child, isn't it? This royal child, this king. This divine child who is God. And what kind of birth would you expect a child like that to have? If I was in school in a creative writing class and I was given the first chapter of Luke's account of Jesus' life and asked to imagine what would happen next, what sort of thing might I come up with? Well, this is a royal child. This is a child who's going to be a king. So he needs a birth fit for a king, right? The problem is, Mary and Joseph aren't members of the royal family. So somehow they need to end up in a royal context. So what happens is they win a newspaper competition, and the first prize is a two-night stay in the imperial residence of Caesar Augustus, the emperor. They win a two-night stay in the emperor's palace. And while they're there, Jesus is born, and he's treated like a king. He's given the finest cot that money can buy. He's given the finest silk sheets. He's built a special annex where he can live for the first few years of his life, and he gets this long line of really important visitors, top Roman officials, the emperor of China, the mayor of Bridgend, all coming to him to see him. And because he's a divine child, this is going to be a spectacular day when he's born. When he's born, the sky is going to turn neon pink, and there's going to be rain, but the rain is made out of chocolate. And everything that this child touches in the first 24 hours turns to gold. And Mary and Joseph sell all of that gold and buy an Aston Martin. That's what I would write. It's not what happened. It's quite a long way from what happened. What Luke tells us happened is far more ordinary, more mundane, more everyday. This is a spectacular world-changing event, but the birth is so ordinary. The journey we make, every nativity, a journey to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, an ordinary town. If you're planning to come this evening, you may be thinking, oh, I really hope we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. And we will do. And there's a reason why we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem and not O Giant City and internationally renowned tourist resort of Bethlehem. And it's not just that it doesn't fit the music as well, but this is just an ordinary town. And ordinary parents. Joseph, the one who'd be the legally adopted father of this child, he's just an ordinary craftsman from some out-of-the-way place called Nazareth. Ordinary town, ordinary parents, and an ordinary birth. The way Luke tells us about the birth, he says these words: she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, like you would any other baby. It's so ordinary. And in fact, it's on the scale of ordinary, it's at the humble end of ordinary, because where is the baby placed? Not in a specially prepared cot, a special environment, in a manger. That's an animal feeding trough. An ordinary birth, and at the humble end of ordinary. Now, if you know the Christmas story, you may be thinking, well, yeah, but then doesn't a multitude of the heavenly host appear to some shepherds in a field and shout and sing about this? That doesn't sound so ordinary or humble, which it's not. But who is it that the angels appear to first? Shepherds, ordinary guys. And at the humble end of ordinary as well. And what is it that they tell the shepherds to look for? This will be a sign for you. Not the neon pink sky, not the chocolate rain, not the things turning to gold. But you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in an animal feeding trough. This king who is and was and forever will be God, with absolute authority over absolutely everything, born in an ordinary town, ordinary parents, in such a humble way. What's going on here? Imagine that you hear that the queen is coming to Bridgend. to get to know the people of the town better. And you hear that she's going to be sleeping on your sofa. She's going to be using your bathroom. She's going to be eating your pancakes for breakfast. She's going to be sat in the passenger seat of your Ford Mondeo when you go to pick the kids up from school. That's the kind of thing that's happening here in the birth of Jesus. This is God up close. This is God come to meet us where we are. This is a God who's not content with staying at a distance from us, but God coming close to us. God with us. God up close. The good news of the manger is the good news of God coming close to people like us, so that people like us could be close to him. God coming close to people like us, so that people like us could be close to God. That's the good news of this ordinary, humble birth. I don't know how close you've been in proximity to the Queen. Has anyone here been within 2 meters of the Queen? There's one hand. Delith, we look forward to hearing your story later. It's possible. We could do. But for ordinary people like us, it's not very easy to do. I can't just turn up at Buckingham Palace and say, I want to see the Queen. They'd ask to see my credentials, and I don't have any credentials. I just have to say, you know, I want to have a story to tell my church back home. They'll say, that's not good enough. Go away and don't come back. And I'd be very sad. Wasted journey. I wouldn't be able to see the Queen. Well, what about getting close to God and being in his presence? What credentials do I have there? This is a perfect God we're talking about. A perfectly holy, perfect in absolutely every way God. And I'm not perfect. That's a big problem. I'm not perfect. I don't think any of us can claim to be perfect. We're not perfect in the things that we say, in the things we think, in the things we do, and the things that we don't do. We're imperfect. And I'm not just imperfect, I'm ungrateful. This is the God who created this whole world. Everything that I've enjoyed in the last week has come from him. And how much thanks have I given to him? And in my life, I look back, there are days when I haven't given him thanks at all for any of it. And not just ungrateful, I'm disrespectful. This God who created this world, and he's in charge of it, rightly so, but I haven't always listened to him. I wanted to do things my own way. Thank you, God, for this world, but I don't want you. I'll do things my own way. Imperfect, ungrateful, disrespectful. That's the attitude that the Bible sums up with this one short word, sin. And that's an attitude that all of us are guilty of one way or another. And so we were created as humans to have this happy, harmonious, close relationship with the God who made us, to have this close relationship with the one who is the source of life and the one who is the source of love and the one who is the fountain of good. But our sin leaves us distant from him, separated from him, cut off from him, cut off from the one who is the creator of life, cut off from the one who is the source of love, cut off from this one who is this fountain of goodness, cut off from him. That's not a good situation to be in. And the Bible tells us that it'll be even worse when we die. to be cut off from God forever. Terrible. But here, in this birth scene, we see God coming with the answer. God coming to heal that divide, to remove that separation between us and God, to bring peace and forgiveness. This baby that was born, if we journey with him through his life, and we journey from the manger, fast forward 30-ish years, and journey to the cross, if we journey from the place of his birth to the place of his death, the cross where he was executed between two criminals. This Jesus wasn't a criminal. He hadn't done anything deserving death. He'd lived the perfect life that we failed to live. He was perfect in his life in every way, at every point, every single millisecond was perfection in the way he lived, in the way he spoke, in the way he thought, in the way he related to other people. He lived the perfect life that we failed to live. And then on the cross, he died the death that we deserve to die. Death cut off from God, punished for sin. He was dying in the place of ordinary people like us. That's what was happening on the cross. Dying in the place of ordinary people like us. Then rising again from the dead to offer new life to ordinary people like us. New life close to God. One of the other writers in the Bible, John, talks about what happens if we listen to this child who was born in Bethlehem. Because when he came, lots of people rejected him. Lots of people didn't want to know him, and that's still the case today. But John says these words: to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to be close to God, even in his family. Relationship restored, to know him as our Father in heaven, to know his care for us, to know his walk with us at every point in our lives. Close to God. If we receive Jesus and believe in his name, if we ask him to take away our sin, if we ask him to turn us from rebels into children, if we ask him to give us peace and forgiveness, we can become children of God, close to him. And there's that wonderful three-letter word in that verse, the word all. The good news of the manger, that humble, ordinary birth, and those shepherds coming. This is not just good news for some powerful, wealthy elite. Not just for good news for people who've lived in a certain way. Good news for all. Good news for all of us, for all of you. Whatever your background, wherever you've come from, however broken you feel, however far away from God you feel, you can come to Jesus. You can ask him in prayer to take away your sin and to restore you to a close relationship with God. And if we have done that, and if we are part of God's family, if we are children of God, then we have this spectacularly wonderful future ahead of us. If you're planning to come this evening, you may be thinking, Oh, I really hope we sing Once in Royal David's City. We're not going to. But if we did, it has a wonderful final verse that talks about how one day we will meet Jesus. We will be able to see him in the same way that you and I can see each other now. And this is what Once in Royal David's City says. They will see him not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by, shall we see him, but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high. There his children gather round, bright like stars with glory crowned. The future for those who are close to God, spending the whole of forever close to him, in his presence. The whole of forever, close to the one who is the creator of life and the source of love, close to the one who is the fountain of all good in this world, close to him forever and ever and ever. This spectacular child, Jesus, had an ordinary birth so that ordinary people like us could have a spectacular eternity. The good news of the manger. This spectacular child, Jesus, had an ordinary birth so that ordinary people like us could have a spectacular eternity. God came close to people like us so that people like us could be close to God now and forever. If we receive Jesus and believe in his name, if we ask him to take away our sin and put us back into relationship with God, that's good news, worth finding more about this Christmas if that's new to you. If that news is new to you this Christmas, or if you don't know that as good news for yourself, that's worth finding more about this Christmas. A few ways you could do that. You could come again this evening at 6 to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. Or you could come next Sunday at 11, where we may or may not sing Once in Royal David's City. You never know. And then another thing you can do on your way out, there's a table in the foyer, and everything on that table is free for you to take, except the plant. Don't take the plant. But everything else, free for you to take. A few things you might want to pick up. This is a copy of Luke's account of the life of Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. A good thing to read over Christmas. Take away, read it, and you can come back and think about the questions that you have. And then there's another book, this one called Four Kinds of Christmas. This is about different ways that we think about Christmas and how the birth of Jesus is the answer to all of our hopes and fears. And this is a book that will make you laugh and it will make you think as well. So that's another good book you can pick up. Because this good news, if you don't know it as good news for yourself, this good news is good news worth finding out about. This great promise that we have at Christmas, this promise of this child born in the manger, the promise that all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Amen. We're going to sing once more, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and there'll be a brief pause while I return over there to start to play.